whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ.
Fraught, because the first election I voted in was Trump's. I've never voted in a midterm. I've never voted.
What?
I have never voted in a midterm election. Ever.
Great.
I've never voted in a primary. Ever.
Tell us that again.
Oh my gosh.
What we see here is someone voted in your name for a midterm primary, and then we've got 1, 2, 3 presidential elections. You're saying you did not vote in.
I can tell you, I can tell you, I'm a bad patriot. First time I got involved in politics was President Trump. That's my first presidential election. I have never voted in a midterm. I have never voted in another presidential election. This is all a lie.
So Ken was missing a vote in 2008. So the two of us were a bit shocked. And from a data analytics perspective, also wondering, was this an anomaly? Like, how could, you know, what are the odds of both of us having this same mistake, at least in those midterm elections? And so that really got us fired up in terms of wanting to understand better if we were just an anomaly.
Folks, stand by for an amazing interview with a great couple who have dedicated the past 4 years and more than 4,000 personal hours to collect data on the stolen elections, leading to so many folks realizing how we've been lied to for so many years. Their scorecard is now a huge part of what many are using in other states to bring unbelievable evidence of election fraud through inaccurate voter rolls, eligible voter count errors, and nearly 600,000 Illinois voting ballot errors in 2022. The good news in all of this is that you can finally help in just about any capacity that you are able. Discover how through this interview, and also visit the description box below, unitedforfreedom.com, right below this video. Click on that for more information on how you can help. Stay tuned for amazing revelations of an amazing couple using their Christ-given abilities to save the United States of America. Well, it's great to have Ken and Jody Zitko with us today, folks. We are in for a treat. I had an opportunity to speak with them here about 2 weeks ago, going over a lot of detailed information that was really amazing. One of the big parts for me was just understanding the amount of work that they've done through the years, especially when it comes to voting and more. And so I want to get through this in a way that will help all of us understand there are ways that we can all help in our areas when it comes to voting this year. It's a big area of discussion for many across our nation. As I talked with Ken and Jody, of course, I shared my frustrations, and we'll get through that on all the elections and how that's played out through the years. So thank you so much for joining us, Ken and Jody.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so could you just give me a little background, who you are, what's going on, and what you guys are actually doing to help in this area?
Sure. So, you know, like many, many Americans, we were a little confused in November of 2020 when we went to bed on election night, and then thought we understood where our country stood as it related to our elections. And so we woke up the next day, and over the course of the next hours, days, and weeks, continue to be confused about what we saw in our elections. And Ken and I are both, you know, both of us, between the two of us, have, you know, nearly 60 years of experience working in data analytics. And right away, we felt like we knew something was up, and also believed that data basically tells you exactly what it's doing, right? And that answers would be perhaps in our election data. But over time, we kind of, like all Americans, were frustrated with the things we were seeing as 2021 came and went. And we spent 2021, you know, trying to understand what was going on more and seeing how we could help and get involved. In late 21, early 22, We met a gentleman in Illinois who was running for U.S. Senate, and he was running in part to essentially get involved in and get access to our voter rolls as a federal candidate. He was allowed access at that time. That was only one of the only ways an individual could gain access to the voter rolls in Illinois. And so prior to helping him, though, prior to getting involved, he actually offered to show us our voter histories after we demonstrated we were exactly who we were by giving our state IDs to him and confirming our identities. And he did, and we were shocked what we saw. Ken and I had never voted in a midterm election until November of 2022. However, our voting history showed votes, both of us had votes cast in 2010, 2014, 2018. And then also Ken was missing a vote in 2008. So the two of us were a bit shocked. And from a data analytics perspective, also wondering, was this an anomaly? Like, how could, you know, what are the odds of both of us having this same mistake, at least in those midterm elections? And so that really got us fired up in terms of wanting to understand better if we were just an anomaly. And while that candidate worked on his primary campaign from April through the end of June, we, Ken's a MS SQL data analyst and architect. And so with some of his expertise, we were able to write some reporting against the raw voter data. So it's the state's own data. We didn't do anything to it at all, except run these reports. And we were able to share with voters in the state of Illinois after they identified themselves and validated that they were who they were. And with their consent and through their, you know, they approached us, so we weren't approaching them. We're able to share with almost 1,300 voters their histories in Illinois and saw about 57% anomalies. So that was, you know, anomalies that included what we saw, added votes when they didn't vote, missing votes when they did. But we saw a lot of other anomalies that were occurring through the reporting, like voters, de-identified voters at their home that, you know, might be a married couple that were empty nesters and they hadn't had children, adult children living in their homes for 10, 20 years with additional voters voting at their homes, and some other anomalies like registration dates that the voters were suggesting weren't consistent with when they registered to vote and so forth. So long story short, we wrapped that up at the end of June of 2022 when the candidate did not move through the primary election. And at that time, we kind of wanted to keep going, but didn't do that. We started working locally with some local grassroots, but did have a chance to meet Marlee Hornick. You can share, I guess, Ken, what that experience was like.
Right. So it was interesting. We actually had, working on that campaign, we had someone who lived in New York who believed enough in the candidate that we were supporting that she decided she wanted to join his campaign as well. So we met her and worked with her through that campaign. And then along the way, she saw what we were doing. And so she knew Marlee, of course, since she lived in New York. So she said, hey, you know, I know these people in Illinois and they're working on election data like you guys are, because Marlee Hornick had started New York Citizens Audit that was essentially doing a different version of the same thing. You know, they were locked down. They had to find something to do with themselves. So they decided to get the voter data and start sifting through it. And we connected, and at that time they were going through an evaluation of what they found. It's very interesting, but hard to do anything with in a courtroom. But they found an algorithm and a pattern in their data where they're actually able to begin decoding what looked like a method for injecting and removing voters. So we spent probably 4 hours on that call with her data team, going through what they found, talking about Illinois' data. And it was all very interesting, but it wasn't that kind of you know, an algorithm isn't really anecdotal data, but it's something that's very complicated and a difficult thing to bring to a judge and help them understand in a way where they might be able to do something or at least decide to do something with it legally.
Right.
So we're focusing on more basic things with our election data. And like Jody said, through local grassroots, getting involved in just the local elections themselves, doing poll watching and some of that. So really kind of being exposed to all the different parts of the process. And it kind of worked well together because as we got involved in the elections themselves and Jody was trained to be an election judge, we had seen what was going on in the data and all the parts started to come together. We could see how the process and even the way that the people who run the elections are trained kind of leaves gaps that are the perfect opportunity for this illegal or potentially fraudulent behavior to kind of slip in under the radar. So we worked through that and continued to work on the local elections and present to our local county about, you know, the things that we were seeing. We went through an election cycle where all of our servers were shut down in the middle of the election and everything came back on, and surprise, there were 8,500 votes missing when the servers came back on. So just a local election, but still a small version of what we had experienced in 2020. So, you know, continuing the frustration. So what was it? Maybe spring?
Right, early, maybe April, this time. Close to this time last year.
About a year ago, we had that same person reach out and say, you know, to us that Marley's doing something different. It's a national project. Are you guys interested? She wants to talk to you. And we were. So we reconnected. And that's where United Sovereign Americans was born. So like I said, Marley was working in New York with a group called New York Citizens Audit. And she was at the PIT. So for any of your listeners who know what the PIT is, that was True to Vote, had an event where they were sharing things that they had found, and they brought in other people who had found different issues and anomalies within the election data. Marley was there presenting the algorithm and that method I was talking about a few minutes ago.
Right.
And across the table was Harry Howery, a gentleman who then approached her the next day and said, you know, we need to talk. And he shared with her, that was, I think, August of 22. He shared with her that he thinks, you know, the right way to move forward is to take her project national. And she said, no way. And then apparently they talked on the phone nearly nonstop until spring of 23 when he finally convinced her. So.
Yeah, that's dedication to a cause.
Right.
Now, I wanted to pause you just for a second because I'm thinking of this now. In our discussions, one of the things I came across was that you guys, it sounds like you do this full time from morning until night, but that doesn't seem to be the case at all. Are you guys have been doing this for 4 years, and I believe you're working on all of this data after you get home from work. Is that correct?
That's right.
That's correct. So it's a you know, we're empty nesters, so we have dogs, but we have a lot of, you know, we've taken a lot of our spare time in the evenings and weekends. And
how many hours?
I would say over the 3.5-4 years, over 4,000 hours.
4,000 hours that you've dedicated on your own time.
Correct.
Right. Right. That's a good time to mention that, you know, one of the things that we were drawn to United Sovereign Americans by is that the whole organization is all volunteers. So even Marley, the CEO, and Harry, who's the chairman of the organization, you know, everybody's donating their time and resources to the best of their ability. It's you know, really, we're focused on the solution, not, you know, making something for ourselves or exploiting this as an opportunity. It's about getting our election process back online and have valid legal elections again so that we can sort of recover from whatever's going on in our country right now.
Right. Now, the website that I'm showing right now is the United Sovereign Americans site. It's uniteforfreedom.com. And for those listening and watching, you can just go below the video and click on the link. It's there for you. An amazing site. And one of the things that that I was discussing with you, and it was a big deal for me, is a lot of folks want to know how they can get involved in helping locally in their area. And so we had that discussion. Do you have information on that, how folks can understand? We're so frustrated. I mean, I'm frustrated. We showed all the stuff that happened in the 2020 election. Almost every day I was putting out videos showing them traveling from, you know, city to city. I think it was Rudy Giuliani and some others, and they were constantly having folks give their testimony of how, what they noticed happening with the machines and how folks seemed to be working behind to keep the Republicans out and keep Democrats in. And everybody saw them turn off the machine, you know, everything at 10:30 at night. And instead of having a 1-day election, that changed. And then you guys jump in, you're frustrated. And you said, you know what, I want to do something about it. And you used your skills based on what I understand to prove that there's some nefarious things going on, not just a few things, but when you say 57%, which I wrote down, anomalies, that's a lot. And, right. And so this website, I think, and a lot of others have developed systems where somebody that's listening in can say, you mean there's a way I can actually get involved?
Right. So some of the way the involvement works is around the strategy. So we have, I think at this point, is it 26 or 27 states across the United States that are involved? And so part of the strategy involves every state building what we're calling is a scorecard. It's a way for us to show the data and research by state as it relates to our voter rolls and voter registration. So the scorecard's one aspect, and then we have written a resolution that pertains to these anomalies that we've discovered that were essentially, we've built the resolution and it's being read at county boards, local towns and villages, as well as our civic organizations. And so it's a very well-developed resolution and scorecard that we present to our closest elected officials to share with them our findings, share with them the law, that the strategy that we're pursuing here to get this corrected, and seeking their help, right? Seeking their agreement to help join us in getting this fixed.
Okay, so the scorecard, the scorecard is the one that I'm showing now, correct?
Correct. And that's Illinois that you're looking at.
Illinois. And so when it says, were the voter rolls accurate as required by the National Voter Registration Act of 93, you have illegal duplicate registrations, 483,000 instances?
Correct. So what we're doing, just try to quickly capture the strategy, we're doing something different. A lot of different efforts that have failed in the courts have focused on anecdotal data or looking at comparisons or trying to change outcomes of previous elections. That's not our focus. Our focus is moving forward. We want elections to be held in a way that's legal and certifiable. So there's four basic tenets we're using as the gauge of whether or not the election was legal and certifiable. So this first one, were the voter rolls accurate? Just like you said, that NIVRA says the voter rolls must be accurate. It's written in law. So black letter law says that we're entitled this under our founding documents. So at the time of the midterm election, we had about 8.9 million registrations. So you see here this first section, the total there at the bottom, 4,032,000 and change. That's the total number of apparent registration violations that we found amongst those 8.9 million registrations. And then, like you said, that first category, almost 500,000 illegal duplicate registrations. So, those fall into some different categories, but about 50,000 of those are literal exact duplicate people, same name, same address, same age, So multiple voter IDs for one person, and those voter IDs have votes on them. You know, both of them are active and being used. That second line, voted before registered, 2.8 million people. Seems pretty simple. You register, then you vote. But not in Illinois. I guess we work on the honor system. You get the vote, and we trust you. You'll get registered later. So, you know, that's probably not what's going on. We know explanations that might be offered for that line item, but still, the data reflects people having votes on their history prior to their registration date. So that's not accurate. You know, that's not accurate data. If you go down a bit, there's one that's 4 from the bottom in that first section, invalid or illogical registration date. 230,000 of those. So 80,000 of those are just plain blank. There's no date. So, you know, that's just wrong.
And that's how we determine if a person's eligible to vote is, you see their age and the registration date, and,
right,
you know, the law says,
right,
it determines how old you can be. So,
some of the other, it says invalid or illogical. So what an illogical registration date is our oldest registration says it was completed in January of 1903. So that guy would have to be 144 if he registered in 1903, but his registration says he's 58. So something, you know, again, just not accurate.
So you guys, can I just interrupt here?
Yeah.
These 4 million apparent registration violations, that's you counting those individually? This is the 4,000 hours we're talking about? You went in and actually counted these?
Right. Some of that time, right. Yeah. Some of that time is spent building queries. You know, essentially, first we have to, you know, evaluate. We're basically looking at the National Voter Registration Act and the Help America Vote Act, which are both federal civil rights law. And then we're looking at the Illinois State Voter Election Code. So these 4 million examples represent what appear to be violations of one of those laws. And right, we spent many hours building queries, figuring out, you know, how the law should apply, and then looking at the data to determine, you know, does the data show that the voter roll is accurate, or doesn't it, you know, does it show that the rolls are inaccurate? And I think with 4 million examples, we could conclude that the voter rolls are not accurate.
So the second one, were the votes counted from eligible voters as required by the U.S. Constitution?
Right. So that's our second tenet. And then here we basically just look at the 2022 midterm, which is the most recent federal election, and look at those 4 million potential violations and figure out if any of those cast a vote. So the line items essentially match up between section 1 and section 2, but the numbers in section 2 represent the vote count or registration count. You see that number there, 704,000. That's the number of violations represented. Sadly, some registrations have more than one violation. So the 589,985 is how many unique ballots were impacted by what appear to be invalid or illegal registrations. So almost 600,000 votes cast in our midterm that we question their legality or validity.
That's crazy.
Right, it leaves you speechless.
Right.
And then as we continue, the third tenet, it's just basic common sense, it's not even the law, it's were the number of votes counted equal to the number of voters who voted. So we're looking at two line items here. They both come from the state of Illinois. So the first one is the official canvas report. That's a document that the Illinois State Election Commission publishes at the end of the election and says, this is it. This is the official final result. So that document says that 4,144,000 number, but then data from the same office, what we're using to build this scorecard, if we just count up all the votes that exist in the 2022 midterm, we get an entirely different number, 4,116,000 and change. So 27,491 votes, we have no idea where they came from. There's no voter associated with that vote.
Oh my goodness. And then the fourth one was the number of ballots in error. What is that
one? Yeah, so this is where the rubber hits the road, basically. HAVA, Help America Vote Act, is the first time in legislation we tried to define an acceptable error rate. So recognizing elections are very important, but perfection is probably an unreasonable attitude. So they wanted to set an acceptable error rate that would still be a legally certifiable election. So the way the law was originally written, it was one in 10 million ballot positions. So that's each of the individual choices you have on your ballot. That proved to be complicated to apply. So then a few years later, they added another interpretation, which is one in 125,000 ballots. So a lot easier to do that math. So we look at this same election, about 4.1 million votes. One in 125,000 means we were allowed to have 33 ballots that were invalid or illegal for any given reason. Maybe somebody voted twice, they weren't a citizen, they moved out of the state, but they didn't say, you know, whatever the situation is. 33 of those could be in the mix and we can still certify this election. But we had almost 600,000.
So you're only allowed to have 33 errors.
Exactly.
Correct.
But you had almost 600,000 errors.
That's what it looks like when you review the data.
Yes.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
It is.
And so you mentioned other states. Is that what this here shows, all the states that are part of the United Sovereign Americans right now?
Right.
That doesn't show all of them, but that shows a good number of them and talks about the electoral votes that we essentially are capturing in this project at this point. So I know that our first round of litigation, we are planning to have somewhere between 10 and 15 states participating. That set is specifically, you know, we're encouraging states to get done at a specific pace or a specific group, because this is 20 states and what is that, 338 electoral votes? That first batch of 15 would be 274 electoral votes. So some states, some big states, Texas, California, so, you know, they hold some clout when it comes to the election process. And the other part of the strategy is that, you know, we've got New York and Illinois and California that are all at least seen as being very blue states, though we could talk about that in the data too. But then we have other states like Texas and Florida and Ohio and Missouri that are more viewed as more red states. So we're not doing this all blue, all red. You know, this is civil rights. It should be important to everybody.
That's right. That's right. And so when I'm reading this, the accomplishments that they've made already, this United Sovereign Americans incorporated recently, June of 2023.
Yes.
And it says they've invested 3,500 educational hours in the online federal election law discussion and training program. So they have that available on that website, right?
Yes.
United for Freedom, uniteforfreedom.com. And then the process of onboarding state chapters and rapidly building our election scorecard for each of these states. So now that we've discussed the scorecard and I understand it now a little bit more, when we discussed before, we were just having conversations, I didn't really understand it completely. Now I completely get it. And so they're working together. So the scorecard is done for hopefully every state. And then
every state, yeah.
Right.
Not every state, but they're trying to get there.
Yeah.
Sure. And we have directors assigned to, I think, 26 or 27 states. So there's six or seven more states than the 20 here. And we have about 11 or 12 states that are either done with their scorecard or nearly done with their scorecard, like Illinois and New York and in Ohio and Texas and Florida. And so it's a mix of blue states and red states that are finished. And then in Maryland, actually Maryland has just recently filed their lawsuit. They were the first to go. They were ready. So they just filed it like 3 weeks ago. I think it was three weeks ago. And essentially that our lawsuits are basically covering, our effort covers from registration through certification in terms of what we're going to seek remedy for as it relates to the problems within our election system.
Right. And so am I hearing this right, that you guys were doing this pretty much on your own, presenting these cases on your, and then you were able to join with other groups. Am I hearing that right? And this is how this whole thing is growing. And then when I played that video with Deanna in Illinois on my video part one and two, that's where you guys met. And that's how all this has been growing. Am I hearing that right?
Right. So in the case of, we did a presentation in one of our local township, Republican township meetings, and met her and heard her story. It was presented to us. So I think in every state they're having experiences where you have these presentations, whether we're doing it at a board meeting, a county board meeting. We have volunteers that actually are watching these board meetings because they're almost all of them are publicly displayed. But in that case, that was a public event. And she heard about the work we're doing and, you know, her situation. You know a little bit more about what happened with her, something.
Right.
Right. She's definitely had an experience that isn't dissimilar to many of the people we've encountered on our journey here.
Right. So she had reached out to Ed Lipinski, who's the GOP chair for Elk Grove Township. And he worked with her a bit, came to understand her story. She had a strange experience, personal experience, while voting in the 2020 election, which you shared her videos where she describes, you know, exactly what happened. And so he had looked at some information, data that's available to him through the GOP, and saw, reinforced what she had already learned, which is that her vote didn't appear to have been counted in the 2020 election. So then he referred Deanna to us, understanding that we had access to this data and multiple snapshots, and
with her permission, of course,
so that, you know, we could get connected and right, like Jody said, with her permission, we could take a closer look at these snapshots and see just, you know, if we could find anything more. And it's particularly interesting, you know, feels like we shouldn't find so much, but she was already finding problems with her history and her data with the little bit of access that she had. And then once we looked, it just became it's very difficult to explain, actually. Each snapshot showed a different version of her history. So as she, you know, she moved around, she had a number of different addresses over the 6 year period that we have snapshots for. And each new address came with a new version of her vote history, which was like changing into the future and into the past, and just really crazy stuff. So just another demonstration that, you know, the way the system is being administered, the way the data is being maintained, is just completely unacceptable. You know, this is not being treated like it's part of our national security infrastructure. It's being treated like it's just some, you know, meaningless data set that somebody takes care of at work, and then when they go home, they, you know, wipe their hands of it and could care less. You know, it's just extremely irresponsible.
Into this year's election, with all the stuff that you guys are doing, with the website that we're sharing, I'm going to share it once again here, United Sovereign Americans. So uniteforfreedom.com, uniteforfreedom.com. Do you guys have any inkling of or thought that there's hope for this year? It seems like something might be put together thanks to the work of so many others, where they can put a stop to all this mess, where it does get down to 33 only, or anomalies or whatever you'd say. I mean, do you see anything there? If not, do you see that there's a way folks can jump in, and if they volunteer or they donate to this cause, it can actually make a difference this year? I mean, can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we started really hitting the ground in October. We We have over 100 volunteers. We started out with like just a small handful. And volunteers are super important because we're doing these resolution presentations both at the county level and the local level. And how many jurisdictions do we have? We have 100. So we have like 108.
108 jurisdictions in the state.
And we've gotten through about 14 or 15 of them so far.
There's a few left to do.
Right. And it's been in a really, I mean, I can't tell you, first of all, how good it feels. Separately, we are very aware we're over the target in terms of some of the responses that we see back from county clerks and some of the board members as we kind of do these presentations. But we need, so you know, we need people to help. We need soldiers to go out there and help us. If we could be, you know, often these presentations, the county board meetings are almost all in the center of the month. So if we could have multiple resolution readings going on at once, we would reach more counties more effectively. You know, we do want to have an opportunity to give them the chance to get involved, our you know, closest elected officials, and I guess here join us in saying we need this fixed. Yes, this is a problem. Here are our findings, and here are our tenants that we're seeking to fix. And then we also offer remedies in our resolution presentation. That takes five people to do the presentation, to present it in its entirety. And then separately, we're also doing other activities like presenting to civic organizations and communicating what it is. As you see, that scorecard, the laws involved, helping people understand that these two laws are actually civil rights laws, and that, you know, essentially our voting rights, they're civil rights, and they define the meaning of America, and they are what gains us access to all of our other, you know, all the laws that are being written and so forth. And so the legal strategy too involves doing this, you know, having as much impact out of the gate, trying to have at least, you know, 12 to 15 states that are going to be filing here very soon. You know, like I said, Maryland has already done that. And we would like to do the first bunch of filings, and we're going to be doing them in a what's called a TRO fashion, because this is an emergent situation. You know, we have a serious problem. It seems to be a very broad problem across all of the states so far that have done this evaluation, and you know, we're seeking a remedy. We understand that, you know, we have to get this fixed by November of 24. We have to be on the path to fixing it, that, you know, as we move forward, if we don't, you know, it feels like, you know, we're going to lose our country if we don't fix this. And the laws are sometimes complex in nature, and the data, surely, you know, we tried to formulate it in an easy to understand manner, but there's an education process. So even as a volunteer, I know Marley once a week does a call. If you join as a volunteer, you'll get invited to that national call once a week, and she covers the laws. She covers how it applies, what we're going to be doing, so that every volunteer really understands what it is we're trying to do, and then they become educated on our rights so that they can go out there and be a spokesperson, you know, unofficial spokesperson for USA. And we realize, though, that not everybody has, they have busy lives, or they might be involved in some other effort that, you know, we've, you know, I think we just talked with Marley, and I think we understand that we've probably put millions of dollars worth of volunteer hours already, you know, through all these different data analytic analysis, individuals that have participated in building these scorecards and digging into this information. And at this point, you know, no one, none of the volunteers, including Marley and Harry, have taken any income from this effort. But our legal effort will cost a little bit of money to litigate this. So,
a little bit.
Right. So we're seeking, if you can't donate time, donate some, you know, a few dollars to the cause to help us move this forward and get it done before, you know, get this into the courts with a hope that it will escalate beyond our federal court system.
Right. And so when I'm clicking on the donate button, there's QR codes, I believe, that lead you to different states: California, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Maryland, Missouri, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Tennessee, and Texas. Click or scan to donate. That's pretty cool. I like that setup. On the volunteer side, I noticed that it has basically, they need support for, and I like this, peaceably ensure fidelity to the law as it relates to elections and voting. You've got community outreach, media outreach, information analysis. That would be what you guys are doing. Right. That should actually be super big. 4,000 hours needed in 4 years. No. Media, legislative, fundraising, research, writing, accounting, marketing, social media support, transportation support. That's a big one. A lot of folks say, how can I help? Well,
right.
I actually would love to get my vehicle and start helping, you know, take folks places. Event planning, administrative, and more. I mean, that's where I'm talking about supporting and helping, because sometimes when I talk to some friends or whatever, like, look, I just don't understand how to get involved and go into the polls, and that's just too much for me to understand or whatever. Well, hey, I can actually drive somebody, or I can actually do some admin things. Where do you need help there? I'm really good with social media.
Right.
And so that's the part that I thought was really important. Where can we help with whatever gifting we've got or something in some way of helping out with the elections? Because people really feel like, you know, lost. What can I do? I watch these videos. I'm frustrated. Okay, yeah, the election's being stolen again. Okay, I see the data. But what's going to happen now? We've been told this for so many years. And that's where I'm frustrated, a lot of other folks too, on why can't we have something finally done? Why does it have to be so corrupt?
Right. There really is so much that people can do to help. And so if your listeners are interested in just understanding what's going on and what we're working on, or think they might have some time to offer. And if it's not on the list of things there, there's just so many other things that we need help with. I'd implore them to volunteer. There's no, you know, you're not signing up and obligating yourself to anything in particular. You'll get invited to that call, like Jody mentioned. So every Tuesday night, you can jump on this call and hear more about the laws that are the foundation of the case. And just, you'll end up getting additional information about what, you know, sort of current events within our project. And then as you get engaged with your state, you know, the other thing is, once you sign up, you'll be referred to the chapter director in your state. So we're the chapter directors in Illinois, but, you know, 27 other states have chapter directors already. And if your state doesn't have a team, maybe you could be the chapter director.
Absolutely.
So there's just a lot of opportunity.
Wow. And so this site's well done. And you mentioned the other states. Would that be listed on this site at all? I'm looking for it now, where the other states are listed.
Well, like the donation page is kind of zeroing in on the states where they're done or almost done with their scorecard, because that's when the litigation happens. And that's really what the majority of the fundraising is about. But I don't know that there is a comprehensive list there. That document you showed previously is available on here somewhere, and there's another version of a document like that lists states, but we're really growing so fast it's hard to keep up. So
good. Well, that's good news. That's really good. It says 50% of your donation goes directly to the state chapters, support local initiatives in support of our national strategy. Right. And you know, I just can't get over our first conversation before this interview and understanding just the amount of time that you've put in on your own. Jody, especially when you were sharing the amount of time every single night, I can't imagine the burden that's on your heart. I mean, it's one thing to discover the numbers. It's another thing to leave work and come home and say, I've got to figure out what I'm going to do to help get this data put together. And then you've got to have a life. You've got to have conversations with people to get away from it all, how hard that is. And then realizing it's bigger than just the numbers you're putting together. It's you're talking about the entire country.
Yes.
The burden that must be on your shoulders, that we really need folks to join in our country and say enough already.
Yes.
And you know, almost like sounding the alarm and going through the cities and saying, look, we, you know, wake up, everyone, wake up. Let's do this. And I'm sure many that are listening in, especially on this show, so many people have reached, you know, they reach out, where can I help? How can I get involved? We get a lot of that. And so this is an answer to prayer, I believe, in showing that there are ways that folks can finally get involved in supporting those that are fighting for our country.
Absolutely.
I just want to thank you guys for that.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, there are days, you know, in the 4 years here there where we go to bed and it feels a little tiring, or that we have to sort of recharge ourselves in some way. But again, you know, we wake up the next day and realize that, you know, without us, without our hope is, you know, 1-2 million volunteers spread out across the entire United States, being involved, being educated, understanding about the voting rights, being civil rights, that our election systems are broken right now, and that we must fix this and we must do it rapidly. We don't have years. You know, we need to get this done in months. Absolutely need to make something move forward and get that going here before November of 2024. It's critical in nature, and you know, we're going to see this through. We just hope, you know, we encourage others to understand there is hope here. This project is very different from anything else that's been done so far as it relates to our elections, and has it to us. It feels extremely logical. There's so many things we've observed, just like some of the stuff you said in 2020 and late 2020 and early 21, watching those hearings happen and trying to watch things, see them through, and coming to understand some parts and pieces. We feel very confident about the strategy and the approach. And then we're reinforced every day when another state joins the cause. I mean, to a certain degree, we've grown tremendously in less than 10 months, 9 months. Right. So it's, you know, it's been a blessing. And so that's what gets us up and doing it again every day.
Yeah. You know, another thing that's amazing is that we didn't really get involved or understand all of this before 2015, 2016.
No.
I mentioned this quite a bit. I think now it just hits my mind as I'm recording shows, how many cared about local elections? How many got involved in their school board meetings? And I've said it even more, where I was actually in the church. I remember I traveled every 3 years in the Marine Corps, so we were in a different town every 3 years, right? And all I did was I spent most of my time just in the building, but I didn't take what I learned in the building out to the community in a way that would have been impactful. Like if I would have said, okay, guys, we just finished prayer, Bible study, okay, let's go to the local board meeting for my children today. Mm-hmm. I just didn't think it made a difference. I just didn't get involved. And now we have gone in the past 7-8 years from not really getting involved to I had no idea. And that even adds to the fact that that shows you how easy it is for the enemy to just step in and go, good, I'm glad that they're staying busy going to the football games and the basketball games and watching television all weekend and going to the movies and staying inside those buildings and doing what they're doing. Good. Let them do that, because we're going to go in and sneak into these school systems. We're going to switch our judges out and we're going to infiltrate this country. And it's this, so we can have an opportunity, because there's so many of us, to get involved and really make an impact and really help you guys out. This has been amazing that you guys are almost like pioneers. You've been going through from one end of the country to the other. I just see you guys with these blades, and you're cutting down the forest, and you're like blazing this trail. And finally, you're watching, you know, these carriages come across over the mountain, and you guys are on your knees crying, you know, okay, finally, you've got a couple of people that came from, you know, the East Coast, and they're heading this way. You know, that's just the way I see it.
And we love new volunteers. That's been, honestly, you know, that's what recharges us, I think, and has kept us going is, and the, I can't express how great it feels. We've done a number of these presentations and people come up to us, and actually we were at an event not long ago and a pastor came up to us and said, I've been praying for people like you, you know, and if like I, you know, just to understand, we were an answer to someone's prayers, you know, allows us to understand we're on the right path and we need to keep going. And we would love for as many people as possible to join us in this mission.
Right. As exhausting as it is at times, there definitely is a lot of feel-good moments along the way, you know, working with people, finding like-minded people, finding people who see, you know, you were spot on. We were complacent and kind of, you know, didn't do our good citizenry good duties as citizens, and you know, now we have some cleaning up to do.
Yeah.
And it's rough, but every day we run into somebody new who comes to understand what we're working on, and like Jody said, they share that, you know, they had just about lost hope or really felt like they had lost hope, and now realize, wait, you know, maybe this thing is going to turn around.
Right. Can you speak, Jody, before we close today? I would just love for you to share when you got on the, you said you got on a stage here about a month ago now to present what you guys are talking about now, in a sense, to a crowd of folks, right? And I mentioned to you, like, what's the difference? Everybody's tired. So we see the numbers. Okay. And I'm that guy. I'm just asking, you know, in a way that I know must hurt a little bit, but it's still, that's what I get the sense of talking to folks is, I don't want to see it anymore. I've seen enough, right? Tell me what happens when you get on a stage. Can you explain that to me? What happened that one time? I believe you're sharing with me.
Sure. Well, as we're sort of presenting some of these numbers, you kind of look across and see a lot of head shakes and I don't know if it's disbelief, but maybe it is, you know, and then we explain, you know, we go through that and then we explain the strategy. So we see people feeling, you know, that a bit dismayed by it all and frustrated and shocked. And, you know, it's the reality of what's happening. So we have to do something about it. And we share the strategy and we share the growth. And there's a lot of miracles that we've experienced along the way here, just in a few months in terms of, what we're doing. And again, then in the end of that presentation, every presentation, a lot of gratitude, like so much gratitude for, you know, restoring hope and feeling, you know, just grateful and hopeful, hope filled again. But we need, you know, this is something we do together as Americans. And I know Ken and I have been standing in the gap here in Illinois. There's a lot of good patriots right here with us, but we would love to have, you know, every American standing with us on this. And we do get a lot of positive feedback. We've had so many people come up to us and sign up just to be volunteers in the last, I would say, 60 days. And it's just been a remarkable experience in that regard. And again, that's what kind of recharges us and keeps us going. And I can tell you that every volunteer director in every state is, you know, I think built cut from the same cloth as us here in Illinois. So anyone who's listening that's not in Illinois, understand that this is an incredible group we're working with. And you listen to Marley. So Marley and Harry actually came to Illinois a few weeks ago and we did a few presentations with them. And that might be the presentation you're talking about. I mean, there were tears in people's eyes. It was a local coffee shop that we presented in, and there was about 70 people there and
smashed in,
crammed into this tiny little coffee shop. And like, it, you know, it just was, you know, incredible. The tears were, you know, and the feedback was, people have given up, right? And when they see this and they hear this, and that's why I say be a volunteer. Listen to hear the brilliance that Marley and Harry bring to this project. It's worth signing up and being part of. And anyway, it was just, yeah.
Amen. So uniteforfreedom.com. That's below the video, folks. I'm sure you're heading over there if you haven't been that, to that site already while we're talking. And I think we're going to prepare for hundreds, if not thousands, of people visiting that site now, wanting to get involved. I can sense that for sure. We have great listeners here, and we know you guys always reach out to everyone we have interviews with, and I just know you're listening in, and this is just touching my heart. So I want to pray for you, if I can, real quick as we close.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Wonderful. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Ken and Jody Zitko, for all of the time that you have placed on their hearts, the burden for our country and more, the gifts that you've given them are just overwhelming, how you've used them to make an impact, not in just Illinois, but on so many souls across the United States. And we just ask that you continue to guide and direct their thoughts, their minds, give them the energy that they need to move forward, and all the things that the enemy has in trying to stop them, the protection would just continue, maybe open up their eyes to see just the protection you provided for them day in and day out. And the tears of frustration, the tears of joy, those times of all the work, may it just come together in a way that they would just scream and shout hallelujah. And we ask that this time, those that are listening in, those that are impacted, that they click in and they just type a few things on this website, knowing that there's some way that they can help. And uniting this nation that you put together, a nation that has sent so many missionaries out around this earth to share the gospel, a country that you're not done with. And we just ask that you would just impact those hearts and minds in some way of bringing back this nation together as we fight together, we pray together, and we watch what you do, a mighty work in our lives, day in and day out. Again, thank you so much for all that you do in and through our lives. We ask this in the name of your Son, Christ our Savior. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ken and Jody. This has been amazing, and looking forward to updates throughout this year. Let's do that, okay, as we get closer to 2024. I'm sure folks are going to be interested in knowing how many volunteers came in, what numbers are happening, what's happening in the courts. I'd love to have those updates, so we have to do this, okay?
Absolutely. We would love to come back.
All right. God bless.
Thank you.
Until your wife and children, I'll be sailing.
I invite you to join me and the And We Know family on a cruise to Majestic, Alaska, August 11th through the 18th, 2024. We will chart our adventure aboard the luxurious Holland America's Westernum, cruising us to historic Alaskan ports like Juneau and Ketchikan. Destinations renowned for their scenery, teeming with forest and wildlife, the freshest caught salmon and other delicious cuisine, and known for the locals' family charm. The Isaacs are coming too, and we can't wait to sing worship and patriotic songs by this renowned award-winning group. We'll also enjoy powerful biblical messages and share life stories with my family and me. Listen in on a live podcast recording and have Q&A time and interviews with special guests. So visit andweknow.com and book your trip with LT and the family today.